There's Zev, even as we speak.
I'll get to the Makoro. I just got to my computer.
Okay, good. I mean, today I was pretty early.
Yeah, well, I was in an event for the past 3 hours. Sorry.
Right. You know, we're not all as in demand, we'll say.
That's it. It was a Jewish community event, so at least, you know. All right.
Okay, great. So, but it's always appreciated, this, you know, kidding aside. So we discussed, you know, also the question of, you know, whether or not Pidgin Shvuyim, we say Dekulu Isnayu Bey, and the Rambam Shita in particular, that, you know, Tzedakah is an aspect of Pidgin Shvuyim, but whether that is really true in terms of like a Nodel Tzedakah, whether you can actually fulfill your pledge through Pidgin Shvuyim, both on a neder level and in terms of chiyuv tzedakah more generally. So these are issues that we touched on. You know, the first parak of Bava Basra, you know, seems like an unlikely place to be discussing, you know, Mechirat Sefer Torah and Pidgin Shvuyim and tzedakah. But, you know, that's the beauty of the Shakla Vitaria of any Gemara, is the Dvarim Ha Mizgalgalim, you know, Misugya Lasugya. So I thought we would do, you know, a little, I think in that context, I mentioned that maybe we would do a larger discussion of that since some issues had come up. So I thought we would do the, you know, important tzedakah topic, you know, that also kind of joins on Daf Chesam Beis right after the Pidgin Shvuyim Sugya. So let's turn to Chesam Beis. Again, the specific Mar Makomos, in addition to the Gemara, will be made accessible, you know, probably if I know Zev, so he's so good at these things that probably they're out there already, but practically. And but either way, we can follow from the Gemara, and, you know, if not, we can always follow the old-fashioned way. I'll just try to make it clear. So the Gemara here on Daf Chesam Ad Beis, the top of the Gemara dealt with Pidgin Shvuyim, and afterwards the Gemara discusses you know, the mechanics of tzedakah institutions in communities. So, you know, we're not going to read it all, but at the two dots on Daf Ches, right after the Pidgin Shvuyim Gemara, so that is 3, 6, 9, 12, about 15 lines down from the top of the page, the Gemara gets into this whole question. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kupa Shel Tzedakah, Nigveis Bishnayim, right, a kupa of tzedakah, tzedakah fund, is collected by, I need two people to collect, umischalekes bishlosha. Very interesting halachos. I mean, you have to, you know, the nitty-gritty dinim are always important. And of course, in addition to that, they reflect on the authentic character of the institutions. Like, what, you know, what is this? So there are two people who collect, you need two people to collect. That's, you know, generally an honesty issue, and three people to, you know, to disseminate, you know, to, you know, to actually apportion the tzedakah to different people. Nigves bishnayim, shein osin sraras ala tzibur, pachos bishnayim. That's an expression of srara, right? If you're going to exercise authority or power over members of the community, that should not be done by one individual. That needs to be shared at least by two. This is a hedge, you know, against autocracy, you know, when you have two people. So, you know, they secure a level of fairness, obviously. You get to eliminate some of the megalomania, you know, that sometimes, you know, accompanies positions of power. Umischalekes begimel, you know, kedine mamon. It's very interesting. In other words, giving out or apportioning tzedakah is perceived as, you know, like a din, like a dine mamon function. And therefore, just like dine mamon requires three, you know, dayanim, you need three dayanim or the equivalent of that, you know, committee, you know, to apportion tzedakah. Okay. Tamchui nigves begimel, mischalekes begimel. Shegivuya v'chaluka shavim, when it comes to tamchui, that's not money, but the actual food. Tamchui b'chayom, kupa be'erev, Shabbos la'erev Shabbos. These are different institutions. You know, there's like a soup kitchen is different than a tzedakah fund. You know, obviously they're related to each other, but they're going to be, structured, you know, differently. Obviously, the tamchui l'aniye olam, kupa l'aniye ha'ir. I'm not going to go into all the stuff because I want to zero in on one particular issue. But rashayim bnei ir lasos kupa tamchui v'tamchui kupa ulishanosa l'komashi yirtzu. Here's the question of flexibility. Like, let's say you somebody gives money for a tamchui, can that be converted into a kupa or a kupa into a tamchui? Obviously, since these are broadly serving, you know, a similar function, notwithstanding the structures are different. The structures are different. That's reflected by, you know, one's a weekly, one's a daily, one's a, you know, the gviya and the chalukah are the same, the other they're not. So there are obviously important differences, but obviously the bigger picture is that these are different forms of tzedakah, right? One longer term, one shorter term, one financial, one actual, you know, sustaining the person in terms of food. And then Agav, the Gemara tells us something else very important. Arashay b'nei ha'ir l'hasa salamidos, v'ala sha'arim, v'al schar po'alim, v'ala si'al kitzasan, all sorts of community. Again, if we were to dwell on these things, it would take a long time, but, you know, policy issues of the community, how much flexibility does the kihila basically have, you know, when it comes to establishing principles and rules and policies, etc. Very flexible. Okay. Then the Gemara goes back to the first point, and that's what we want to zero in on tonight. Gemara says, Omar, Enos and Sroros ala tzibur, Pachos Mishnai. That in order to exercise Srora authority in the tzibur, right, like Gvias Tzedakah, collecting Tzedakah is considered an act of Srora. Very interesting, right? That requires at least two individuals, right? You can't give srara, or you'd rather not give srara. I mean, there is srara for one. A melech, of course, is the epitome of srara, but the melech is, again, a very recognized institution. There can only be one melech. It's the nature of what malchus is. That's already where you reside, you know, political and some but spiritual power in a single individual. But if we're talking about functions of srara that are separate from, you know, sovereign personalities, so then it's much better to, you know, divide the burden in order to ensure integrity, you know, in the process. And then the Gemara says, "Minon emili, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Kra, v'heim yikchu es hazahav." So if you notice, it says it uses the plural, yikhu, right? So obviously there's more than one collecting. Sroras tudela abdi, the Gemara says, that's when it comes to actually collecting in srara, hohimune mehemen. But when it comes to nemanus, that you don't need necessarily the same configuration. Misele larbchanina, Dom Rabbi Chanina Maisa Umina Rebbe Shnei Achin Ala Kupa. There were two brothers that were appointed to share the Srarus, but obviously there was we weren't worried about their honesty. We're worried about their integrity, but not honesty, because when it comes to like Nemanus, you know, typically you want to stay away from Krovit. Okay. Then the Gemara asks the big question. And that is, you need two people to collect tzedakah because srara requires two. In what sense is tzedakah collection an act of srara? Well, how is that exercising authority or power, you know, in the community, jurisdiction? Says the Gemara, Maisra Rusa, Dom Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Lefi shemimashkinim, sorry, al hatzedaka, v'afilu be'erev Shabbos. You could confiscate, right? You could, take somebody's property if they're not cooperating and they refuse to contribute to the, appropriate, amount of tzedakah, to which they should be obligated. So mimashkinin ala tzedakah, even if it's Erev Shabbos, you can grab, a mashkon, if you will, or something like that, from them. In other words, this is a way of saying that we, take these obligations, very, very seriously. And even if, somebody seemingly is, you can look at Rashi just for a second. Rashi says, my sorusa, the kupa, what is the srara involved in collecting for the kupa? The kamras Allah shein osin srala tzibur. The answer is mimashkin and afilu be'erev Shabbos. Sheish piskon pele balabayis lomar taradani. The guy can say, listen, it's Erev Shabbos. I'll give you, but I'm not giving you now because I'm preoccupied with my preparations for Shabbos. Preparations for Shabbos are not only legitimate and understandable, they're also obligatory, right? Gemara says in Kiddushin, that mitzvah bo yoser mishlucho, and they give examples of people, acquiring things, likvod Shabbos, or, doing other actions, likvod Shabbos, on their own. So the idea of being tarud, Erev Shabbos, and preparing, finishing, the work week, and preparing for Shabbos, and that being seemingly an understandable tactic, to put off an obligation of tzedakah is certainly very reasonable. Obviously, that's taken into consideration too. But nonetheless, there can be circumstances where mimashkinin ala tzedakah via filo b'arve Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Eini. How could that be? V'aksiv, Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, upakadati al kol lo chatzav. The Navi says that the Rabboni Shalom is going to pay close attention. He's going to scrutinize anybody who pressures, other people into doing, coercing them, to doing things that they don't want to do. In other words, being a locheitz is something which is perceived as negative, as something which is, a crime of some sort. And the Rabbanu Shalom protects, from people who are locheitz. So how is that consistent with mimashkinin ala tzedakah? Says the Gemara, Amar Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta Mishmei Derab, Yafilo al Gabay tzedakah. This statement to pakarati al kol chatzav, doesn't just mean people who are, pressuring people for money for ill-gotten, causes, or personal funds. It applies even to Gabay. If you have a high-handed, Gabay tzedakah, then he's also under the rubric of upakadati al kol lo chatzav. So how is that consistent with mimashkinin afilu be'erev Shabbos? Says the Gemara, lo kasha. Had amid, had lo amid. It depends whether or not the people who are being pressured are people who are men of means, and therefore, they really do have an obligation, and it's inexcusable, for them to, avoid their responsibility, maybe even to delay their responsibility. In that situation, we say b'mashkinin al tzedakah afilu be'erev Shabbos. On the other hand, hadalamid, sometimes, people don't have the means, they don't have the wherewithal to contribute, or to contribute in the way that the community, would like. So there you have to be sensitive. And there we have this pasuk which says, "Upakadati al kolo chatzav, afilu al gabay tzedakah." Even if the gabay tzedakah are very well-meaning, their sincerity, and there's nothing, in it for them. Let's assume they're being totally, altruistic for the good cause. But nonetheless, if they are lacking in sensitivity and they're pressuring the wrong people, they're pressuring people who don't have the capacity to respond, then that's considered to be upakarati. The Rabbanu Shalom himself, protects, those, who, are being pressured, unjustly, even for a good cause. Very interesting Gemara. We're not talking about, some trivial cause or we're talking about tzedakah. Okay, so that's the Gemara. Then the Gemara goes on to illustrate this. Ki hada Rava, akafya Rav Nasan bar Ami. Rava was pressured or coerced Rav Nasan bar Ami. V'shako minei arba mea zuzei l'tzedakah. And he, collected from him 400 zuzim of tzedakah, which is a very a large amount. So you see that if somebody has the the capacity and the ability, and he's just evading his responsibility, that there is a din of kfiya b'tzedakah. Okay, so that's the Gemara. So the Gemara basically says that you have to know your clientele. Right, even as you have to be sensitive to people who don't have the, means, to contribute. At the same time, those who do are not just, encouraged. They are actually obligated to the point that there is also some level of enforcement to collect, from them, or at least to coerce them. To respond. So it's a very interesting Gemara.
Okay. Rabbi Rosenzweig, I know the situation in Antwerp with the Machziki Hadas, the Rabbi Kreisler's Kehila.
Yeah.
So there was a very wealthy, I knew him personally, a very wealthy gentleman, and the Kehila would not permit his father or mother to be buried until he paid them $1 million. And that was a real coercion, and he had to pay up before they would permit the kavura.
Wow, that seems very. I mean, I don't know the details. That seems very, extreme. But obviously, we don't know the background. So, obviously, he had the means. That part is clear. But what were the efforts, to deal with him more gently, obviously. Discreetly,
but they got $1 million.
Okay, I'm glad. I hope it went to good cause. But yeah, that's a great. I mean, that's a great example. I mean, and listen, there are communities where the needs are great. And we'll see in a couple of minutes. So the presence of aniyim as a presence is a very powerful motivating factor. Kai me aniyim, whether just the it's almost like a Torah. I mean, we discussed this. We talked about, Stiras Beis HaKnesses. I talked about, the institutions of Jewish life, and the importance of like supporting them. So one of the things I mentioned is that the, we have different Gemaras and different sources. The Rambam codifies many of these things. You have to have a bezdin in a community. You have to have a mikveh in a community. You have to have Beis HaKnesses in a community. That's what we were discussing. One of the things you need to have, and the Rambam says, "May Olam," there was never, Rambam Nukas Matnas Aniyim says, there was never a Jewish community, that didn't have, a kupas tzedakah, meaning a tzedakah institution in the community itself. So that's a very big statement. The Rambam wasn't speaking as a historian. He didn't know, for sure, he didn't have records that every Jewish community of every age, had a kupa shel tzedakah. He said it with a certain certainty because he felt it was halachically, inconceivable, like that there would be a community that would ignore the plight of its most, dependent. And therefore, he based on what he did know, he projected to what he didn't know, but with a degree of not only confidence, but practically or actually certainty. And he said that me'olam, lo haya, that's a big statement. It's a big statement. But his confidence in, you know, in Jewish law and in you know, Talmid Chachamim, let's say, who are influential, you know, throughout history in Jewish communities was such that he made that statement, you know, as a vadai, not as a likely or as a rove or, you know, for him, it was just like inconceivable. It can't be otherwise. So I think that's very interesting. So kind of this is what's reflected in the Gemara here as well. Okay.
The Gemara so here, the Gemara idea, here, Rabbi Rosenzweig, the Gemara over here proved that there are people that you are, that you put pressure on, and people that you don't put pressure on.
Right.
But the topic of discussion was that we are even do it, I feel of Erev Shabbos. There could be, even if you have permission to put pressure on somebody, one would think that Erev Shabbos is not the time to do it. In other words, the proof
well,
of
that's
Erev
what
Shabbos
Rashi, still, that's what Rashi adds in. Well, I mean, obviously that's what the Gemara means.
But it doesn't
the reason
prove
that
no
it's a filu. So I think what we need to understand is that you know, the likelihood is just like, you know, just like, you know, the Antwerp, you know, situation seemed a little harsh, but we don't know the circumstances. Right.
Right.
So, you know, I wasn't saying it is harsh because, you know, probably there was very good reason, you know, for such a, but obviously there had to be a story there. So I think the Apalpi, you know, Af Be'erev Shabbos is a story too. Meaning the impression is not that, oh, you could get the money, you know, just as easily or practically as easily with a little more effort on Sunday or Monday. It's more like, you know, the person is exploiting, you know, his tear dose on Erev Shabbos, you know, and then he'll exploit something else, you know, to evade, you know, his responsibility. So at a certain point, you know, it becomes offensive in a way, you know, for Shabbos to be the excuse, like Shabbos becomes a, you know, an unwitting accomplice, you know, in tzedakah evasion. You know what I'm saying?
So,
precisely
for
what you're saying, because it doesn't make sense that we're saying, oh, you know, it's, we go to this one on Monday, we go to the next one, it's Tuesday. So, you know, wait a day, as you say. So obviously the idea is that, you know, people, they did this, you know, they hid behind, you know, their frumkeit or their other, you know, obligations. And for that reason, it became like a zero tolerance, you know, for doing that. At least that's obvious to me. I can't, you know, prove that, you know, in the words of the Gemara, but I think exactly what you're, it's not that, you know, as you say, if we're sensitive, you know, not to be lochates, you know, when somebody can't pay, then we should be sensitive not to be lochates and to give another few days, you know, when somebody's legitimately tarud, you know, Erev Shabbos. So that's why I'm assuming, you know, that the perspective is, well, you know, he's had his chance again and again, and this is kind of an exploitation of something, you know, which people can be sympathetic to, but it isn't really, you know, it's not consistent. It's a little bit like a yohara, you know, in that respect, meaning evading your responsibility, you know, after X amount of times, you know, even if you're blaming it on, or say blame, even if you're pinning it on your being machmir for Kavod Shabbos, that kind of becomes a little bit hard to swallow or to tolerate. That's what I'm assuming is going on here. And I think it's a fair assumption, precisely because otherwise your question really is good. Either way, it's good, but I think that's the answer to the question. Okay, so here we encounter a very famous Tosis, and that's really what I wanted to speak a little bit about. Tosis de Ramaskil, Akfei L'Rav Nasa. Okay, so Tosis zeroed in on this you know, idea that there is kviya in gviyas tzedakah, and Tosis was troubled by it. Why? Vim tomar. Everybody have that? Dibra maskel akfe. It's also, if you have the marmakomos or access to them through the computer, right? It should be on page one. It's the
23, I think.
Yeah, fourth entry.
Yeah, line 23.
Right, Tosas Dibra Maslo Akfe L'Rav Nasa.
Yeah.
So this is a Tosas that appears, by the way, as you'll see, in a bunch of places in Chas. Tosas says Yim Tomar, of a Perak Kalabasar, the Gemara in the end of Masachet Chulin, Kufirim and Beis, Amar Komitzase Shematan Skara Ksuva Betzida or Betzida, right? Ein Bezin Shamata Muzarim Aleha. We have a rule. The rule is that if the Torah itself explicates the stakes of a particular halacha, right? Meaning matan schara ksuva bitzeda, meaning the Torah itself tells you, you know, the reward you'll get, you know, or the punishment as the case may be, let's say the reward, in a particular mitzvah if you accomplish it. So the rule generally is that ein bezin shomata muzarin aleha. Then it's not the business of bezin shomata to, you know, to get involved in it. Because the Torah basically defined what's at stake. So, you know, let the person, you know, make his decision based on the, you know, explicit divine, you know, consequences of what it is that he's about to do. So that, what does that have to do with tzedakah? So the, you need one more step. The gabe tzedakah, siv ki pasoach, tiftach es yad chalo, right? You open up your hand, you know, to him. This is the psukim in Re'eh, we're all familiar with, one of the parshas hamoadim. This is the parsha of Aliyah L'Regel, right? Ki beglala davar hazeh, we say ki pasok tiftach es yad chalo, uksiv ki beglala davar hazeh, yivarechacha Hashem Elokecha. Like, if you open up your hand to an ani, the Rebbeinu Shalom will give you brachos. So that's matan schara b'tzeda. And why is Bezdin getting involved in kfiya b'tzaka? It should come under this rubric. So it's a really good question. It's a question that all the Rishonim ask, and it's a question that is asked in a bunch of sugya. This isn't the only Gemara that, you know, seems to establish that there is kfiya b'tzaka. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Davav says viasisa, you know, is that the word viasisa means kviya, you know, force you or, you know, make you do it. And that's referring to also to giving tzedakah. The Gemara in Ksuvis, you know, has, you know, a bunch of cases also where some of the Amoraim were Kofa Bitstaka. So the Bali Tosis in Ksuvis and Rosh Hashanah and Bava Basra and Chulin, they're all jumping on this point as we would expect. Namely, these Gemaras that talk about Kfiya Bitstaka seem to contradict the principle that Matan Schara Bitseda Ein Bezin Shamata Muzar Nala. So there are a number of answers in the Bali Tosis already to this question. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, first one that we have in our Tosis, is the high kfiya bidvar. Kemo kfiya alperek narashin nispatata. Sometimes the Gemara uses the expression kfiya, and it doesn't mean coercion. It means like, you know, verbal pressure. Like you forced me into it. Doesn't mean you threatened me. It doesn't mean you. It means you kept after me. You were insistent, right? And it's verbal harassment, if you will, you know. But it's not actually kfiya in the sense of confiscating, you know, somebody's property. Okay. So the first answer to the question is in Achanami, the Gemara in Chulin is applicable. However, shiny, this Gemara, it seems to say that there is kviya bitstaka, but really, really, it's not what it's saying at all. Really, what it's just telling a story that, you know, you can be aggressive and you can push. You just, you know, but you can't really confiscate, you know, problem is it's a little bit difficult, you know, mimashkinin, you know, I feel a bit Erev Shabbos sounds like it's more than that, to be honest. But, okay, that's the first answer of Tos. That's Rabbeinu Tam. The Od Tirates, the Hacha Kiblo Aleim, Shechufa Osan Agaba. We're talking about, now again, it doesn't say this in the Gemara, but this is a function of the question. Meaning if the question is good enough, meaning this is, there's no way out, and this is, you know, inconceivable that you can coerce somebody or confiscate his money for tzedakah, if that's really true, then, you know, there must be another explanation. Something else is going on here. So Tosis in the second answer is saying, in Ochanami, again, there's no real kfiyah b'tzedakah. However, here we're not dealing with b'toras mitzvahs tzedakah. We're dealing with a situation where the community or individual members of the community were mekabel on themselves, you know, to accept the, you know, the coercion of the gabbai. So since that isn't based on the mitzvah d'oraisa on the Torah of Nasam Titein Pasoach Tiftach, right? It's just based on, you know, a decision, a hischaibus of either the community or individuals in the community. So it doesn't come under that larger rubric. Okay, that's the second answer. So the first answer of Tosis is there was no real kfiya. It was verbal pressure. Second answer of Tosis is there was kfiya. But this isn't kfiya based on the halacha of gviya per se. It's a separate community ordinance that was accepted by the members of the community. Let's say everybody makes a pledge, you know, or something like that. Okay.
Rabbi Rosenzweig, they're using the word "based in" a very liberal way. In other words, when I you originally hear the statement, you think it's a real based in.
Yeah.
But it's not a based in. The people that are putting into effect are people who are in Srara, but they're not a based in. So the right. One could assume so that when the Klal is
you're
a really
good point. You're saying, you know, the Gemara says that, why is it Srara? And the Gemara is saying that, I'm sorry, that the you need two people to collect and three people to disperse the tzedakah. And the Gemara says it's for Srara and Bezdin. So you're asking, if this isn't, you know, Medina Doraisa of the Psukim, right. You know, it's even a bigger Kiddush to call it Srara and especially to call it Bezdin. That's a great point. Yeah. But according to this view in Tosis, that's what we're saying. Right. The Rinira, so the Ri is actually the most interesting Shita, which I want to get back to in a minute. So let's just get it on the record. We'll go in order. Well, the Rinira, the Bitstaka Kofin, there is Kviya Bitstaka, not because Kiblolai, and not because, and not verbal Kviya, real Kviya. How does this fit into the rule? The answer is Mishum de Isle Lav. Diksiv lo ta'ametz es levavcha v'lo tikpots es yadcha. Since there's a lav, not just a nasei, that changes the equation, and this rule therefore doesn't apply. Now we're going to get back to this in a minute, but this is a problem. A lot of the achronim are puzzled by this answer of Tosis. Why? Because the logic of Komitzus HaSei Shematan Skor B'Tzeda Ein Bezdin Shel Matam Muzarin Aleha, the logic shouldn't really change if it's an Asei or if it's a Lav. In the end of the day, what we're saying is the Ribbono Shel Olam has identified what's at stake. And therefore, you don't need a Bezdin Shel Mata, right? It's up to him. What difference does it make whether it's an Asei or a Lav? Well, we'll get back to it. But I'm going to make a suggestion. That's what I'm here to do. But it's also interesting that Tosis quotes two psukim here, right? There's a Shaila. We'll look at the Parsha in just a couple of minutes, but in Re'eh. But how many Lavin are there and how many Essen are there? Pasach tiftach, nason titein, lo ta'amet eslavavcha, lo tikbot esyadcha. Very interesting that there are multiple, I think this may end up being very relevant, we'll see in a moment, but there are multiple formulations in the Torah for tzedakah. At least two Essen and two Lavin. Again, the Rambam only counts one Asay and one Lav. I think in Sefer Mitzvah of Sajagon, it seems like he only counts the Asay, and I think the Bahag only counts the Los Asay, but the Rambam counts an Asay and a Los Asay, but it doesn't count, you know, two and two. It's not by Yerah by Yimatze, you know. So it's interesting. But either way, Tosas quotes Isba Lav, but the Lav that he quotes two different psukim, Lo Tam Islevavcha V'lo Tikvot Sisyadcha. But we need to understand what that means. Is there such a rule that, number one, I was trying to suggest, that Misvara, it's not so simple that just because there's a Lav, that that should change, you know, the logic of the Gemara and Chulin. But in addition to that, the Achronim point out that we have other cases also where, you know, you have a Asei Shamatan Tzchara B'Tzeda, where we do apply the principle of Ein Bezen Shamata Musharim, even though there's a Lav and an Asei. For example, Hanokas Eved. I would say Hanik Tanik Lo Yishal Chenu Reikam. Right? There's an Asei and a Lav. And nonetheless, that's one of the examples of Asei Shamatan Tzchar B'Tzeda, where in Bezin Shamatim was Haranala. This is a question, not my question, it's a question of some of the Achronim, the Mishnah Lamelech and Hichos Malva Velova. I think the Rashash makes this Ha'ara. A bunch of the, Ibn Chaskinuch mentions it, quotes Mishnah Lamelech. So what is going on with this Re? What is the Re trying to tell us? I'm going to get back to that. Before we get to that, a couple of more answers. Ula Ritzva Nira, the hod ein bezin muzarim al mitzvah asay shematan schar betzeda haynu de ein nenoshin. Ah, the came mashu Yerushalmi the mocher sasfina bahi the kolabasar. Right, that there's a difference, very fine line, a difference between ein bezin, you know, muzarin, meaning Ein Nenoshin and Ein Kofin. What Tosas, what the Ritzva wants to say here is that Ein Muzharin means Ein Nenoshin. Bezin in the end will not punish. But that doesn't mean that they won't coerce. I mean, they can confiscate your money, they just won't punish you. That's what the Klal of the Chulin is about. So the Gemara in here, the Gemara here is talking about actual kviya, and it's talking about the actual mitzvah of tzedakah, and the din of bezin shamata ein muzar nalah does apply, and nonetheless there's kviya, because kviya l'chud and onesh l'chud. That's a bit of a chiddush, but that's a very interesting distinction, right? The law of a mokir avu of a kaftu, right? That's onesh. But amalahu shavku, they said to him, you know, stop, let him go. Hakei pirusha einchem muzarim lahachricho ad sheyasek b'shar mitzvah saseh. Dim amalei asei tzuka belula ve'en osa makin oso ad sheteisei nafsho k'da amar ba'akoseh. The Gemara says in Ksuvis, right, in Daf Pezayin, that you can be kofa on a mitzvah saseh. That if the guy refuses, you say to the guy, you know, you have to build a sukkah, you have to take a lulav, right? That, you know, if the guy refuses, then makino so'ad shetet se'napsha. That's the Gemara. So what the Tosas is saying, the Ritzva is saying, is that rule that you can actually, you know, inflict a punishment, you know, when the mitzvah is ignored, you can't do that with a matan, mitzvah se shematan tzcharim b'tzeda. You can't do that. However, What you could do is kviya. You could pressure the fellow for sure, and you could even force him in the sense of, you know, confiscating his money in the case of tzedakah. Right? So basically, there are four answers in Tosis. Right? Two of the answers are inachanami, but the Gemara isn't talking about either real kviya, they're talking about verbal harassment, or they're not talking about real tzedakah. They're talking about a community pledge, you know, independent of the mitzvah and the chiyuv of tzedakah. That's the two of the answers of Tosis. Or inami, the last answer, the ritzvah, which is, there's a difference, a very subtle difference, between kfiya, right, enforcing, even against a person's will, even if it means confiscating his funds. There's a difference between that and manishin, right, actually imposing punishments, a la the Gemara in Ksuvos Pezayin, where we say about mitzaseh that kofen oso achetetz nafsho. That rule doesn't apply b'matan skorim b'tzeda. And then, okay, so that's an interesting. So we have a reassessment whether we're dealing with real kviya b'tzedaka. That's the first two answers. The final answer is a reassessment as to what it really means when we say, you know, ein bezen shel mata muzharin. We thought it meant even coercion is not acceptable. Now we know it doesn't mean that. It just means corporal punishment is not acceptable. Anything less is acceptable. And then we have this very intriguing middle shita, which is the shita of the Ri, which says if it was only a mitzvah asay in achanami, there would be no kviya. But since it's an asay and a lav, that changes the equation. And we're not sure why that should be so logically. And number two, we have the problem of other precedents in halacha, like kanaka, where we do apply the principle of matan schara b'tzeda, even though there's not saying a lot. So what is the re puzzle so far is the shita sari, which we're going to get back to in just a couple of minutes. Three other answers, and then I'm going to come back to the re. Yeah.
I'd like to suggest about the re. I don't even understand Tosis to begin with, because there's a principle of schar mitzvah hayam aleko. So there's no schar mitzvah at all in this world. So without the lav, there'd be no basis to encourage this guy to do anything, because it's not that man schar mitzvah is only lesi lavos. It can't be b'hai alma. So there's in this world.
Well, what does b'hai alma have to do with anything?
Well, because there's no matan schor b'tzid or b'hai alma, because schar mitzvah b'hai alma leko. So he's not.
Why does it have to be b'hai alma?
Because that's the principle of schar mitzvah b'hai alma leko. What does it mean?
In other words, b'tzida doesn't have to mean that.
No, in this world, there's no schar mitzvah. So therefore, it's not a man schor b'tzid in this world. It's only in the world to come that there's man schor b'tzid.
Okay, what's wrong with world to come?
So therefore, in this world, based in this Musaim, because they since there's no manzchor besido, so it's not a.
I think the idea, again, we'll go back to the original idea. I think the idea is that when the Torah itself, you know, identifies what the stakes are, we're saying the Torah did that in order to convince you, or to let you know, you know, what your opportunities are and what your, you know, liability will be.
But in this world,
so what does that have to do? Why does that matter? Whether the liability
in this world, there's no opportunities.
They're far more consequential if they're in the next world.
Yeah, but that's far off from now. You know, it's not something that a person thinks of every day. So therefore,
but your question is a question of
on the whole principle.
No, I'm saying your question is you're questioning the. Not Tosis, you're questioning, or me, but you're questioning the Gemara in Chulin.
Yeah, right.
I'm just saying, I think the answer is that, it doesn't really matter what the skar or the onesh will be. And it doesn't matter so much where the schar or onesh will be. The important thing is that the schar and onesh are explicated by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that should be, you know, good enough for as a motivating force, or to, if the Ribbono Shel Olam says, this is what will happen to you if you do, this is what will happen to you if you don't. So then now it's up to man.
Yeah, that's good for Rosh Hashiva in Yeshiva Yitzchak Chodad. But for the average person, he doesn't understand, you know, what's going to be, and Olam Haba doesn't affect his pa'ula in this world for the average.
Another guy says, you know, Rainy Nosein Stockal Menashe Ezka L'Chai Olam Haba. He also knows, and he wasn't a Rosh Hashiva in Yeshiva for many Yitzchak Chodad, as far as I know. But thank you for the compliment anyway. You know. But no, I hear your question. I'm not dismissing it, but it's not a question on Tosis.
No, so I don't understand Tosis to begin with.
It's not Tosis. You're asking really a question
on the Gemara on Chulin.
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand. Right. So maybe it shows that we're underestimating the people. The people, you know, when they know what's at stake, even if it's, you know, not Bahai Alma. That, you know, that usually that's enough of a motivating factor for them.
And in the last piece of Gemara, why are they manish on their sukkah and a lulav? I mean, if you mevatel mitzvah, you don't get an onish b'hai alma. Why are they punishing a person if he didn't sit in a sukkah?
Well, that's a straight out Gemara in Ksuvas. But I think the idea, honestly, there is a kind of a merid. You know, because typically we don't do that. I think the Gemara is saying you could do that. In other words, we have the right to do that. And I think the idea behind it is that, you know, if it's perceived, if his like abstention of you know, lulav or sukkah is perceived as like an act of rebellion,
The threat to the community, right?
Yeah,
I understand that.
Then there, but really, the Gemara is not saying that every person who is Sheval Tassan doesn't do, you know, is going to get this or even deserves it. What they're saying is that it's a capacity, meaning a mitzvah say is also very important, and doesn't has the right, if, you know, if they choose or they find it. Now, when would they choose? What would those circumstances look like? The answer is, I think they would have to, you know, imply some sort of a merit, or, you know, is an infectious, you know, kind of malaise or merit in the community, you know, that there would be reason to do it. But still knowing that that's a capacity is very important. And that's what the Gemara says there. Okay, great. Yeah, it's interesting to know. There are some other answers given to this question. Let me just talk about them for a minute. So the Rav, the Koran of Levracha, thought that, you know, that maybe there are two dinim of tzedakah. That there's a din of tzedakah, which is a chovas, you know, yachid, and then there's a chovas tzibur, you know, based on the parsha in Kosai. It sounds like there's like a separate, you know, obligation to give, and that maybe maybe one could say that the whole, you know, principle of the Gemara in Chulin, that mitzvah saseh she matan schor b'tzeda ayin, that's only on a mitzvah, you know, but whenever there's also a tzibur component to a mitzvah, then there's always kfiyah. That's something to think about. I don't know if it works so well here. I mean, here we're talking about, it's not clear that it was a chovas tzibur. I mean, we are talking about gvias, hagabayim, and srara. Maybe. Something to think about. The Rashash and some other Achronim have a very interesting answer. They deny that tzedakah, to begin with, is in the category of mitzvah seh shematan schar b'tzed. Tosas proved it. Torah says, l'man yivarecha Hashem elokecha. So that means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is explicating that he's going to give you a bracha. So they came up, some of these achronim, the Rashash and a few others, came up with a very interesting chiddush. And that is, if you look in the parsha in Re'eh, there's another pasuk there, lo yera levavcha b'sitcholo. And when you give tzedakah, But you should not do it begrudgingly. Lo yera levavcha, your heart should not, regret or exhibit, ra, when you're giving tzedakah. Lo yera levavcha besitcha lo. So the suggestion was made that when the Torah says l'man yivarecha Hashem elokecha, it doesn't go on the pasach tiftach or the nason titain, meaning the obligation to give tzedakah. It's the attitude that you display when you give tzedakah, which is very fascinating, because you would have thought, and if it's true, and this is what some achronim say, so they think if this is true, you would have thought that, or things like that, the attitudinal part of tzedakah, you'd think, it was like it's more peripheral or more tafel, part. We'll get to that in just a minute as well. But, the important thing is to give, and the important thing is that there should be, a cushion or, a safety valve, for people in the community or for individuals, who need it. And, the attitudinal question, whether you're smiling or you're grimacing, or what you, when you look in the mirror or when you think, to yourself, what your perspective is on what you've just done, that is, one would have thought, less significant. But if it's true that the Lamani Varecha Hashem Elokecha goes on Lo Yera Levavcha B'Sitcha Lo, then, and even if it's not the case, but certainly if it is the case, then it really establishes how the attitudinal piece is not trivial or peripheral, not even necessarily secondary, or practically not secondary at all. Meaning your attitude in giving tzedakah is an upfront, part of it. And it's interesting to note, there's a very fascinating debate in the Rishonim what the pasuk lo yera levavcha besitcha lo means. If I remember correctly, the smack says that lo yera levavcha, and I think this is what many others say as well, but he says very clearly in his Sefer Mitzvos, lo yera levavcha besitcha lo means, you should give b'sever panim yafos. Again, you should give, I don't know what the smile, but you should give warmly, and you should give, not begrudgingly, not meanly, condescendingly. You should give in a pleasant way. I mean, the Rambam doesn't say that this is the pshat in lo yera levavcha besitcha lo, but he does codify based on other Gemaras that the highest level of tzedakah is, number one, putting somebody back on their feet, not necessarily giving them something gratis, but lending them money, supporting them so that they don't need, that they don't fall below the poverty line. And in terms of course, human dignity, I mean, from a donor point of view, obviously giving and not expecting any return is more impressive. But in terms of effectively impacting the recipient, we'll get to this dialectic in just a minute, being mechazek somebody, so that he doesn't fall below the poverty line and that he can extricate himself from his difficulty, even though you'll end up being repaid hopefully, is actually far more significant. That's one point that, based on other Gemaras, that the Rambam and the Poskim make clear. And the other one, of course, is that in the levels of giving tzedakah b'sever panim yafos is in that respect the highest madrega in the giving. So that's the smak, according to the smak, that's what lo yera levavcha besitcha lo means. And if that ends up being, the focal point of l'man yivrecha Hashem elokecha, that's very extraordinary, really. Because, we usually think of this as like a sidebar. Of course you should give. The giving is the main thing. You're digging into your own, hard-earned, reserves. taking it away from your pleasure or your family or your, you know, creating your own uncertainty. And that's very, you know, admirable. We pat ourselves on the back for all that. And partially we should, I guess. But, you know, the idea of like doing it with a smile or doing it with a frown or doing it, you know, truly with affection or doing it condescendingly, you know, that part of it we consider like, you know, icing on the cake. But if that's the pshat in L'mani V'racha Hashem L'kecha, which is a rare usage in the Torah, then there's a, you know, very profound Musar Haskel, you know, in all of that. So that's number one. The Ramban has an even more fascinating understanding of the Pasuk. The Ramban, in his, you know, Hasagos to Sefer Mitzvos, thinks that the Rambam criticizes the Rambam for not counting besitchalo. And I believe what he says is that the pshat is that you, the donor, should not consider that you are sacrificing or that what you're doing is, you know, injuring or damaging yourself. You know, it's also attitudinal, but not the interaction between donor and recipient as much as, like, you know, the donor's own, you know, perspective on his giving of tzedakah. So the Ramban says what it means is when you look in the mirror and you see that, you know, you just gave tzedakah, like, don't look at yourself as like a victim or somebody who is sacrificed, you know, and lo yera levavcha, don't like feel badly that you gave or have any regrets, you know, in terms of your own, you know, largesse and benefit and well-being. You know, you should have like bitachon, you know, that this is something, you know, that it was the right thing to do, and that ultimately, you know, l'man yorecha Hashem lokecha would work in with this. Ramban doesn't say if that's what it connects to, but, you know, you should see it as an opportunity. We'll get to that in just a minute. The discussion of Rabbi Akiva and Tornus Rappus really revolves around this question. Yeah.
Could I ask a question, Rabbi Rosenzweig?
Yeah.
There's a chiluk between distributing money to a poor person and making a collection to build a shul or to write a Sefer Torah. And that is also tzedakah. And hey, Nichu has a zohav, has nothing to do with supporting poor people. So this kasha doesn't even begin. If about manzchor betzido, that's only vis-a-vis giving tzedakah to a poor person.
Well, but that's not clear at all. That's not clear at all.
Well, pasot tifach es yotcha la'achicha evioncha. That's obviously to a poor person.
But, I mean, the Gemara says that it's a really interesting point that you're making, but it's an interesting phenomenon because, like, the 1/3 shek. If you look at the Rambam, Menuchas Matnas Anim and the Shulchan Aruch. So, like, the minimum of giving tzedakah, they say, is like, you know, 1/3 of a shekel a year.
Maton moletus, yeah.
Yeah. But that's, what's the makar for that? That's they used to give to the Bet HaKabayim.
When the Gemara says mamashkan on tzedakah and achve b'nosin, doesn't mean necessarily that it's to raise money to give to poor people.
No, what I'm saying is tzedakah, the line between this, there's a line in the Shita Megubetzes and Ksuvis, and Af Mem Ches, we have a similar Kviya Sugya, and then you have Rishon in there too. Where I think it's the Rav HaMe'ili, not Me'iri, but Me'ili. There's a Sefer Me'ili with an ayin. So the Shita Kubetz's quotes and says that, you know, ideally a person should give, let's they say, you know, 1/5 of his money. We say, you know, something called Maaser Ksafim. You know, that's that these are all interesting topics, maybe for another time. But again, there are three different kind of shiurim. One is 1/3 of a shekel a shana. If there are no aniyim around, the yes left to give. Then there is, you know, 1/10, 1/5. So he says, ideally, the amount that you should give would be like 50% for aniyim and 50% for like bate knesses, you know, bete kabayis, you know, the karbonos, you know, things of that sort. So it's a very interesting, you know, to a shul, to a mikvah. Right, what it's not so, you know, it's not so clear. you know, that, again, when aniyim are doresh, we'll get back to this in just a minute, you may be right, but if you have to say much more, you know, that, you know, might be, that's different. You don't have that parallel when he talks about, you know, like supporting halachic, like institutions. But the mitzvah of tzedakah and the amounts of tzedakah, whatever those are, whether it's the third shekel or the fifth or the tenth, they definitely, you know, include good works in the community, you know, supporting a shul, supporting a mikvah, supporting a yeshiva, etc. So the pashtus, the kfiya that was we're talking about in the Gemara, does not have to be limited only to aniyim.
That's what I'm saying, 100%. You're agreeing with what I'm saying.
I'm not sure that you know, L'man Yivrach Hashem Elokecha is limited to aniyim either.
Well, why the pasuks only talk about aniyim?
I mean, it's but those are the makoros of tzedakah that are connected to these shiurim, which the poskim assume apply also to other good works. So I don't think it's so pasha. I hear it what you're saying, but it's not. It's in halacha. It's not clear. It's not so clear at all that that's the case. Well, the proof in the pudding is that the Baalei Tosfos didn't think that. But I do think you're right, especially, you know, in the according to the Ritva, which is the next sheet that we're going to quote. There, I think you're totally right. I just don't know if you're, I don't think you're right in Tosfos, but, so what is the Ritva? Before we go on, David had a question. Yeah. We can't hear you. At least I can't hear you. Since I could hear the others, so. Process of elimination, it's got to be you. I feel a little bit good. I feel like you're doing this on purpose, you know, to make me look a little better, you know, all the times when I'm, you know, and it's not, you know. Are you there? Oh, I think I heard you a little bit just now. Go ahead.
might be me. David, is it the question you messaged me?
Yeah, you have to unmute or take the...
Yeah, so David messaged me the question. His question was if there would be a difference in the lo yirah levavcha if you were giving to an ani or giving directly to the gabbai. Would there be a difference in the understanding to any of the shitas that we've quoted so far?
Well, I guess the Ramban's lo yirah levavcha doesn't make a difference. Okay. I think it does make a difference, you know, in the smacks, lo yirah levavcha. I think that's a great question. But yeah, I do think in the smacks it would make a difference. Not that you're allowed to be mean and nasty to the gabbai, you know, but at least, you know, the empathy part and the fact that he's, you know, down on his luck and needs that iduid and so on and so forth. You know, that part maybe, you know, if you want me to help you in, you know, from a tech point of view, I'm always available. You know, I picked up so much from Zev over the years that, you know, we're practically, you know, ready to go into partnership, right? Okay. But no, I feel much better. You know, Lemafreya, from already several years worth of, so I appreciate that. Okay. The Ritva says something quite amazing. And I think what Leon said before may be very relevant to that too. So if you look at the Ritva, which is in the Mar Makobos, one second. Is this on the bottom of page one?
The Ritva is on line 32.
32. So same question, but a very remarkable answer. So Vatema, says the Ritva. Eich memashkenin alatzdaka, abithase shamatin skar betzeda. Right? Same question. Torah itself spelled out the stakes. The ein mazar in bezin aleha. The tears be rushalmi, ein bezin and nashin aleha. Klomar muzharin, ein lachuf. They have the ability to, and maybe even the obligation to coerce, to enforce. Aval emelimo ineim velo kafa'u. If they didn't do that, ain't nanoshin, kemoshin nanoshim al sharmitzah same lokfa'u, right? That's like the Ritzvash answer of Tosis. That's not the Chiddush I was talking about. The Chiddush I'm talking about is the next line. The Omer Rabbeinu Neru. This is really the Ritva in the name of the Ra'a, probably. The Legamar Dilan Leis Hai Svara. Ela Komet Sase Shamatan Skara Kosa Betzida Ein Bezen Muzarin Klal. Kedamina Masechet Chulin. Ahu Gavad Lo Mokir Avu Av Ima. This is also not the Chiddush. One second. Amalei Rav Nachum Kaftia. Amalei Dlo Boi Lemichved. Komet Sase Shamatan Skara Betzida Ein Muzarin Alem. Im Kein Heich Mimashkinen Al HaTzedakah. We're already on page two. Tirat Sarbeinu Shaini Hacha. This is the part. The Goli Beikra, Dichsiv, the Asisa, Azhara Lebezdin Sheya Asucha. When it comes to Tzedakah, there's a separate Xeris HaKasuv. The Torah uses the language of Isui, which is a language of Kfiya. Velogar Mina Minole Alma, lest you say, okay, I mean, one man's Xeris HaKasuv is another man's Binyanav, you know. So you see from here that even though it's a matan tzchara b'tzeda, there is kfiya, because it says v'atzisa and tzedakah, let's export that to other things, says the Ritva, or the Ra'a. No, tzedakah is unique. And that's why the Xeris HaKasuv says there's kfiya. What's unique about it? Lo gar mina mina li alma mishum, dehocha lav mishum mitzvah, derami alei bilchud kaifinan. It's not only a mitzvah that's at stake, and therefore to justify coercion, even though it's matan skar betzida, betoras mitzvah. Ela mipnei shechayev atzmo unechosav shechayev atzmo unechosav legavoa olaniyin. Ukeshem shekofenos olifroa ma shechayev lehejot shelo yeh koach hejot chomer mehekdesh. Actually, he does relate here to either gavoa, meaning good works, or aniyim. But what's the chiddush of, what's the Ritva saying? The Ritva is saying that the mitzvah of tzedakah isn't just a stam mitzvah bi'alma, like hanachas tefillin, or you know, dalad minim, or sukkah, or matzah. What he's saying is, it is an economic obligation. It's not just a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv. It's just that this chiyuv is directed, right? This monetary commitment, Torah imposes a monetary commitment to gavoa and to aniyah. But because it's a monetary obligation, right, it takes on, in other words, you could have said, well, monetary in the sense that the form of how you implement this mitzvah is by support. So it's, you know, you shake a lulav and you blow a shofar and you eat some matzah. And the way that you perform the mitzvah of tzedakah is that you write a check, you know, or you hand over coins or food to an ani. Says the Ritva or the Ra'a that the Ritva is quoting, not exactly. It's much more than that. It's much more than that. The real idea is that although you don't have any relationship with this person on the surface, right, you have an obligation to him or legavoa for him or legavoa for gavoa. And therefore, Kishem Shekofen Osa Lefro Mashachayib Lehejot. Listen to the comparison. If Reuven lent $100 to Shimon, does Shimon have to pay him back? Sure. Is that logical? Sure. Would anybody say about that, that it's a mitzvah say Shematan Skara Betzeda? And if he wants, he can pay him back. If he wants, he doesn't have to pay him back. Certainly not. It's understood to be an economic obligation. So tzedakah isn't just take the form, this is my language now, but doesn't just take the form of economic, doesn't just take an economic form, it is at its core an economic obligation. Elsewhere, the Ritva elaborates this. If you look at the next Mara Makom, you see I'm going to stop in two more minutes. Tosis and Ksuvis pretty much says what Tosis says here in Bava Basra. And the Ritva, did I quote it? Yeah, the Ritva and Ksuvis says what he says here in Bava Basra, but even more expansively. So just look at the Ritva for a moment. Aval hecha da amid kaifinan lay. There's a gemara there. Pirish midin staka. Aval gav da b'mitzasei shematin skar b'tzeida. The kaimalon kobitzasei shematin skar b'tzeida ein bezdin muzharin aleha. Same question. If the Torah itself explicates what's at stake, so well, you know, there should be no kfiya. Hasamu b'shar mitzvos kagon kibarav the aim the kayotze b'zeh. Aval inyan tzedakah, when it comes to tzedakah, kaifinan mipnei machsoram shel ani, a beautiful language. You coerce the payment of aniyim or the support of aniyim because of their need. Ukidikasa rachmana yasisa azhar lebezin shiyaasucha. Afagav dahu gabe dodeksiv. The word v'asisa is referring to a neder of tzedakah or something like, or neder of hekdesh. Goli rachmana b'tzedakah, very big chiddush of the Ritva. The Torah is megala tzedakah shahotzi mipiv. V'hu adin l'chol tzedakah v'shu maksarim shal aniyim. This is not a case where we say, in the chabal l'chidusha. And we say, oh, it's a chi of neder. What we're saying is, you see from neder that any tzedakah obligation, whether it's self-imposed or imposed, you know, the amount that's imposed by the Torah is perceived not just as a mitzvah, but as what I'm calling a legal obligation, a legal monetary obligation, b'shumachsarim shalaniyim, and therefore it doesn't come under this rubric at all. U'betosas tirtzu d'shayni tzedakah d'ksiv lo saseh, gamke d'siv lo ta'ameitzes levavcha. Okay, so I guess I'm going to stop here. But before I stop, let me just hint at what I want to get back to, and then we'll finish this next time, and then we'll go on. So I mentioned the view of Tosis. Ritva just quoted it again. Tosis and Ksuvas has it as well. That, you know, somehow there's a difference. Tzedakah is different because it has an asay and a los asay. I mentioned, but the svar is the same. Who cares? Number one. Number two, you have other mitzvos that have Essen and Lavin, like Hanik, Tanik of Eved, and still considered a Matan Skar B'tzeida, even though it has an Asay and a Lav. So what I'd like to suggest is maybe that Tosis also had in mind what the Ritva very powerfully articulates. Namely, that there's a difference between a mitzvah, right, and a mitzvah that is rooted or anchored in a chi of mamon. However, what Tosis is trying to say is, if tzedakah was only a mitzvah saseh, nason titein, pasach, tiftach, we would look at tzedakah as just that, you know, a mitzvah saseh, a good thing to do, like tefillin or lulav, or sukkah, shofar, matzah. So there's another chi of mitzvah, nesinas tzedakah, pasach tiftach esyatach. But the fact that there is, in addition to the asay, this is my suggestion, in addition to the asay, there's also a lav, lo tikpos esyatcha, lo sa'ametz eslavavcha, that lav is or highlights even about the assay, right? That this is not a mitzvah b'alma. Rather, it constitutes an obligation, a monetary obligation, that in some respects, and you have to understand the implications of this. It's like what I said before, but I'll just repeat it. You know, almost like a balchov. Then the Radvaz we'll see next week when we finish this off, you know, has this comparison too. Now remember, a balchov is a very logical obligation. You know, Reuven lent me $100. Of course I have to pay him back. But this Ani who's, you know, begging, you know, or who's needy, you know, he didn't give me anything. I don't even know him. Or I do know him. But either way, he didn't, there's no quid pro quo. I don't owe him anything. What, he has rights to my hard-earned wages? Or my future, you know, Yerusha to my children? Or whatever? I mean, he is my Baal Chov? In some respects, that's what the Radbah, that's what the Ra'ah is saying. So I'm wondering, is that what Tosis means too? That's what Tosis is saying. There's an Asay and there's a Lav. There are two aspects to tzedakah. Or midilav nishma la'asay, that even the asay has an aspect. Again, lo tzrichim la'hagzim, obviously, you know, it's not a real Baal Chov, but we'll discuss a little bit in Birat Hashem next week. Are there shibudim? Can you be govesh shalom b'fanav? You know, let's say you have a safek chi of tzedakah. Does it matter whether the ani is asking you or just, you know that there are aniim around? So we'll discuss a little bit more when we finish this off in Birat Hashem next week.
Rabbi Rosenzweig, why can't we look at this idea of tzedakah very differently? If we believe hashkafa-wise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us whatever money I have, Hashem just gave it to me as a shomer to give it to the ani. In other words, this is not like a normal thing based in implementing a chiyuv for me to do something or punishing me for doing something that I should have done. Here, in the case of tzedakah, it's already partially the ani's. I'm just the shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him the thing. So it's a different thing. It's not a kofin. It's a different hashkafa of how the...
Well,
the,
what you're suggesting is a different way, a different explanation, you know, to explain kind of what the Ritva and the Radvaz...
Exactly.
Yeah. But I don't know whether you need to see it as a, you know, that you're only a shliach. That's a certain view. That's fine.
What I'm saying is,
even if you are the you're also the Bailam over your money.
But the fact is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the hashkafa wise, everything Hashem gives me is in order for me to give it to the Ani. So I'm sort of just
I'm just saying, if you don't want to go so far, the point is that it could be that it's a kind of a Kol Yisrael Arevim. And therefore I owe him because he's a fellow Jew and he's in need. So I'm just saying you're picking it up from the perspective of another question, which I think is a very basic question, which are different views about. And that is like, you know, do you really, the money that you have, is it yours, you know, but you're obligated to share it and to give it, or it's not really yours. It's just passing through you too. I think there are different views, like the Kli Yakar definitely has a view very similar to what you're suggesting.
Rabbi Rosenzweig,
I'm not so sure that the Rama, you know...
I'd like to support Dr. Maybrook, because I was just looking now at the Beis HaLevi and Parshas Truma.
Thank you, Leon.
And the last 3-4 paragraphs are spectacular, and he's saying exactly what Zev is saying.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a view, and I'm not...
Leon, thank you so much.
You can look it up. The Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi and Parshas Truma.
Okay, terrific. But as I say, the bigger question isn't whether you get to it from there or you get to it from Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. It's the formulation that this, in addition to being a mitzvah, is a chiyuv, kind of a chiyuv Baal Chov. What makes him a Baal Chov is either what you're suggesting or what I'm suggesting, or both. Probably both. They're not mutually exclusive, and they're definitely held by different people. But the idea that this isn't a typical mitzvah say Shemat and Zchor B'Tzeda, because it isn't in the realm only of like Arachayim or even Isur V'Heter, but that there's an economic aspect. Whether you want to say it's because I'm holding on to the money for him, or you want to say it's my money, but you know he's like my Baal Chov, you know, in the sense of, you know, my obligation to him as a fellow Jew. To me, that those are different hashkafic ways of saying it, which each of which has roots, and neither of which is mutually exclusive. I'm less focused on that. I'm more focused on what's very different than the assumption of the question. And I think this does animate not only the Ritva B'Shem Hara'ah, but also, as I say, the Radvaz and some of the Poskim, when they talk about Shibudim and things of that sort. Very good. So we'll adjourn and we'll pick up with this in Yirtzeh Hashem next week as well.
Yishkoyach.